Welcome back, everybody, to the Slow Pitch, and I see Lane over there. How are you doing over there, Lane?
Fantastic, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing well. And anything new lately?
Just work and kids and recording with you.
All right. Well, so the other day I was talking to somebody who's a salesperson. He made the comment that, hey, why not pursue every lead? Because you never know where something's going to lead. And he kind of gave an example of how he pursued this one particular lead, and it ended up leading to this big project. And I was like, oh, wow, great. What do you think about that?
I think you got to be careful myself. I think we've all kind of tend to get burned every once in a while on someone, and you need to kind of learn your lessons, in my opinion.
I agree. And I think what it did is made me think a little bit and said, is that really true? Like, do you have to really follow every lead, or do you kind of create your own future by doing certain things? And so my question is, do you really ever want to follow every lead, and how do you know when to follow a lead? So let's talk about that today.
You're listening to the Slow Pitch Podcast, a podcast about selling less and closing more.
You heard the little story. We were literally standing there talking, and he's like, I follow up on everything, because I never know where it's going to lead. Do you do that? I mean, is that something you do all the time too? Because I know I don't always, but...
No, I think you... You know, you get a voicemail or something, and something sounds a little hinky with it. I might not call that person back right away. And if it sounds really hinky, I'm not making that phone call.
Yeah, I'll listen here. If somebody calls me and leaves me a voicemail and I don't like the way that sounds, I'll call back, but I'll ask a couple of questions. And then what I'll find out is this is not going to work out. And so I will gently tell them, I don't think we're a good fit, and you know, you should probably find somebody, and I can refer them to somebody or what have you, because it's just not a good, the project doesn't seem like it's big enough, or there's a project that's just not going to fit into what we do, or whatever it is, it just doesn't fit. Sometimes it sounds like it's not going to have enough of a budget behind it. And while that sounds like that shouldn't be the reason you tell somebody no, it kind of can be sometimes if you've got a lot of stuff going on. So it made me think about, you know, that kind of made me think about, what is this? What are some of the things that you should be doing to determine whether or not this is a lead that you should follow up on or not follow up on? And I guess I wanted to talk through with you, what are some of the things that you do now to decide or determine whether or not you should follow up with somebody or you shouldn't follow up? Like, what are some signals?
One of the big ones that I've tend to get burned on in the past is when it really sounds like the person is indecisive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say they want some work done. You start talking about options. You start talking about what can or can't be done, and it's just really, really wishy-washy. And that's a big one for me, because the last thing I want to do is get into the middle of a project and the client keeps changing their mind. Suddenly, I'm at fault for why things aren't turning out the way they think they should when they can't make up their mind.
Well, I mean, it can't be their fault. I mean, come on.
Clearly, it can't be.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, no, so that makes sense. So if somebody that's indecisive, somebody that can't make up their mind, isn't very maybe clear about what they want.
They don't know what they want. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't know what they want. So these are frustrating things that all of us encounter. Like, if you own a small business, you know, you've had this, like, they don't even want to know what they want and they're asking me to figure it out. Or you're a salesperson. So you're just talking to the person, they're like, they're just kind of all over the place. So Lane, what's the difference between somebody that's all over the place because they don't really know what they want and just a high I who just likes to talk? Like, how do you tell the difference?
Well, I can deal with someone who likes to talk a lot.
Yep.
You know, that's different than just plain not being able to make up their mind or not knowing what they want. So, you know, it's easy to kind of short circuit some of those conversations sometimes and circle it back into talk about business and what you're there to talk about. You can't force someone to make up their mind, though.
No, that's true. And I think, so by asking some questions, I would assume you'd be able to figure out whether or not they're an I or they just don't know what they want.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's go through an exercise, because I feel like anybody that's out there who's listening, you're probably going, okay, well, how do I get through this? And what do I need to do to make sure that I don't pursue a lead that's like a waste of my time? And for those of you that maybe have gotten this far into it and said, you know, I always know when it's the right person I should be pursuing or not. Good for you, because I don't always know. And I don't think everybody always really, really knows. Looking back, it's easy to say, yeah, I knew this. It was something I should follow up on if it did well. But let's kind of go through some steps of what you could do to make sure that you're pursuing a lead that actually makes sense for you. So let's do this. Lane, I want you to think about, we're going to kind of run through some exercises here. I want you to think about your best client. the one that you absolutely loved or do love working with. So it could be an existing or a previous client. Talk me through some of the things that you really liked about them. Like, for example, what did you like about them? What kind of things did they do? What did they do that you thought was really a positive thing for your relationship as a client and vendor or a client producer for them? What were some of those traits?
I think that the traits that I find most valuable are, one, they can articulate the problems they have. Mm-hmm. They will listen to what you recommend or the solutions, and they can make up their mind, you know, relatively quickly as to whether or not they're willing to buy into what you're suggesting.
Okay.
I mean, you know,
those are good three ones.
And I know as a C, that fits my personality, but
yeah, you know, it kind of made me laugh too, because I'm like, you want somebody that can decide quickly, but do you decide quickly?
It depends on the situation. So, well, I think, you know, I think that decide quickly is a relative term, because if you're talking about an overall project, let's say something, you know, a $3,000, $4,000 project, and yeah, I'm not expecting someone to make up their mind just, you know, like that.
Yeah.
But I don't expect for me to have a conversation, not hear from them for 6 months, and suddenly they pop back in and go, hey, let's talk about that again.
Yeah, you're right in that, you know, a $3,000, $4,000 project, you know, they're going to have to take some time to make some decisions. Whereas I might be talking to a client that I have that you give them a $3,000 problem, like you need to fix this problem and here's what the issue is and it's going to cost you $3,000. They'll give me, no problem, go ahead. Like that fast. And you're right, it's relative. It's all relative to by who it is and what the problems are, what kind of causes that the problem is going to create. All of those things. So you know, you talk about articulating the problem, being able to listen to the recommendation that you're giving, and then also, can they make some decisions pretty quickly? Is there anything else that you think about that was, hey, this is somebody that I really enjoyed working with, and here's why?
Yeah, it's always great when the client will give you some good, honest feedback on what you're proposing or what you've implemented. So that's always very valuable.
Okay. So we've kind of created a small little list, and I would recommend anybody listening that you would take this same approach and say, okay, what are the of a client that I'm working with really right now that I really enjoy working with, or a client that I've worked with in the past, what are some good traits that they have? Write those down. And I want you to take a few minutes and literally think through. So I did some of that with a client that I've worked with in the past. And what I wrote down was, the reason I like them and I like working with them is because they allow us to do our best work within the confines of the project. So we could do our best because they allowed us to do it. They weren't trying to put their fingers in everything and trying to mess things up on us, which was kind of, I know it sounds weird, but it's one of those when you know what you need to be doing. It's like when you're a chef in the kitchen and somebody walks in from the restaurant and says, hey, can you just put some more of this in there? That would never happen in a kitchen, right? In a restaurant, you would never have that. So it's the same kind of a thing, but it happens all the time in the service industry, right?
Yeah. Can I have some ketchup with that?
Yeah. So the other thing I wrote down was, they provided some guidance. So here's the confines that we're going to work in, and here's the kind of the rails, and this is where we need to stay within. This is what we're trying to get done and what we're trying to get accomplished. Here's where we're going. They also were looking for really good quality work. They were not looking for mailed in work. And by mailed in, I mean like, here you go. This is our first attempt. What do you think? And you know, they were looking for somebody that was serious, that knew what they were doing and want to see, hey, what do you got? And do it for them because they knew you could. They also, on their end, they would involve an expert in the field that they were focused on, what we were working on. They would bring that expert in along the way as we needed to. So when there was an issue that needed to come up, that person would go, yeah, here's what we need here, here, and here. This is why we need this, and this is why this is important. Okay, got it. So now we had a better picture of the scope of that project, and we could actually make it work the way we were supposed to. They were less hands-on, and they were more, here's the direction, like pointing us in the direction rather than getting involved with the day-to-day. And it's kind of like, you know, I think we've joked about this before, but, you know, me being a high C and my wife being a high I, you know, she'll say, you know, give me some information and I'll try to give her all these details. And she's like, listen, I just want to know what time it is. I don't need to know how the watch is made, right? So that kind of a scenario, they were the same way. They're like, hey, just, this is the direction we're going. This is where we want to go. When you're off trails, then we'll get you back on and we'll make sure you're staying where you're supposed to be. They would do their part. The other thing was that they would do their part so that we could do ours the best we could. So in other words, there were things that they had to do to keep us on time, on track, on schedule, on budget, whatever it was, they would do their part so that we could do our part. The other thing is they gave, just like you said, they gave some really good feedback, and they did it pretty quickly. When they didn't like something, they would tell us pretty quickly. When they liked it, they would tell us pretty quickly, and we could fix and course correct as we needed to. And the, I think the best part of this was the last one, but this is not the motivator for why you're picking this, right? This is, this won't be the motivator, but you're probably guessing what it is. You know what the last one that I wrote down for this particular client is?
They paid on time.
They paid on time. Not only on time, but they paid at the agreed amount of time. So we knew that the check wasn't going to come. It wasn't going to come as quickly as, you know, we send an invoice and they pay it. There's a timeline that was fit with that. So they would follow what they said they were going to do. We followed what we agreed to. So we would invoice in a particular time so that they would get it in the right time. And then they would pay it on time. And it would work the right way it was supposed to be. So that being said, that's kind of my list of what I felt like was a really good client that we've worked with and that I would like to find more of, right? These are the kinds of people that I like to work with. Let's drill down a little bit further. So Lane, I want to ask you a couple more questions.
Yep.
Think of your best client that you've worked with.
Yep.
What kind of personality traits, attitudes, what their approach to things, their style, their communication style, all of that, is there anything that stood out about them that said, these are some things that I really liked? Did they have any personality traits or attitude traits or communication styles that you really liked?
Well, I know it's because I'm a C, but those clients that are also Cs are also very easy to deal with for me. I mean,
to work with.
We get each other. So, so that's, you got that.
Listen, that's a quarter of the population. Why would just,
hey, that's
a good number. You know, if you can work with a quarter of the people out there, no problem.
I got no problem. I'll take all their business.
Yes. Any other attitude traits or anything?
Well, I think one of the big ones, and I don't know if it may be similar to the previous question, but the clients that know they need to do something and they actually follow through within their business to do it.
Interesting.
You say you want to accomplish something, so let's accomplish something. Whereas, the not so easy clients are the ones that, I am too busy to do this. I'm too busy to do that. So you may not hear from them forever. And then suddenly you get something, but that's can be difficult to work with.
So they're the kind of person that just either is too busy to deal with or to deal with what you need them to deal with, or they're not communicating as often as necessary almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good mix of things. And I'm sure you could, if you sat down a little longer, and we're doing this kind of like on the fly and kind of surprised you with the question. So there's probably some things you would think of to add to that. So for the one that I was thinking of, the person or the company that I was working with before, I thought, well, what are some of the personality traits that I really liked? Well, one was they were very open about what they were trying to get accomplished, and they were honest. They were very frank with you. When you had an issue, they told you what the way it was, what the problem was, and no uncertain terms, you didn't know what it was. I mean, you knew what was going on. They were also fun. Like they were fun to work with. Like when they called you, you felt better. Like it was weird. Like the other day I had a conversation with one of the individuals that works for this company, and it was just like, hey, how's it going? And he just started asking some questions about, what my day was like, what's coming up for the weekend. And I'm like, wow, okay. And then we got into some of the couple of details and then off we went. And there's fun, there's enjoyable, and then there's also like, it's business, right? So, but there's a mutual respect. And also they were very clear in what they were looking for. But I also saw them as being very driven, quality focused. They wanted experts in what they were doing. And then they really communicated a lot. So over the course of time, they overplanned things and they communicated. But once we got past that part, things got a lot simpler because we knew what we needed to do. They knew what they needed to do. Everything was planned and everybody was on board. So it worked out really well. So that's a picture of your or my ideal client, right? That's what we should be looking for. So now let's back this up a little bit and say, all right, let's talk about your worst client. What's the client that you really go, I wish I never took them on? Number one. Number two, I wish that if I did take them on, I would have gotten rid of them faster. Or if I had a chance to do it over again, I would never even entertain. I would have stopped the conversation in the first few minutes of that initial call and say, no, thanks. I appreciate your time, but we're not a good fit. Let's talk about that person or that company. What were some of the traits that you saw that they had, or what did you not like about them?
Well, some of these traits kind of circle back to what we talked about earlier. I think in a lot of ways, I kind of dodged a bullet with this one client, our potential client. This person knew what they wanted to do. They didn't know how they would want it to do it, and they could not commit to actually having the work done. And, talked to them. I probably spent a few hours on the phone with this person, and then they just magically disappeared one day.
Wow.
And 6 months later, I got an email back going, "Hey, let's talk again."
And you said?
Well, it had been 6 months, so I increased my price by 10%, and they never heard from them again.
Yeah. All right. So, worst clients or clients that you don't like to work with, here's some of the things that are traits that I wrote down for mine. One was, is I did not like their approach to the process that we had to take. So we knew we had some things we had to get done, and their approach was a little different. Part of their approach was, it's my way or the highway. And that was not enjoyable. We took them on and we said, okay, we'll work with you. And not only would they negotiate price to the point of it was frustrating, but it was one of those that when they got to the price thing, it was like, well, can you do this? And if I said, yeah, I don't know that I can, we should probably just part ways. They were like, okay, well, fine, we'll do it. And so, while I still got the price that I wanted, it was not worth the effort and the problems that came up. My way or the highway thing was very difficult. The other thing I found was they would tell us what we wanted. Like, they would tell us what we wanted, right? This is what you're going to do. Like, I'm like, what? It's like going to dinner and then somebody's just going, hey, you're going to have the steak. And I'm like, I'm a vegetarian. That doesn't work very well. So to me, I feel like just having somebody tell you all the things that you're going to do and you're the person that's the expert, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That tells me they're not treating you and they don't view you as an expert. They don't look at you as an advisor or somebody that they can trust. They were also very short and to the point. I mean, whenever they called, they were just not friendly. Like, they weren't enjoyable to talk to. When you got the phone call, you looked at the phone, you were like, oh boy, I don't want to talk to this person because it's not going to be friendly. Even if it's good news, it was like bad. It was, I don't know, it was frustrating.
Wow.
They were not specific in their feedback. Their feedback would be, I just don't like it. And you're like, well, okay, what don't you like about it? Well, I don't know. I just don't like it. Okay, well, that's difficult to do anything about. I don't like certain things either, but it doesn't mean I can change it. So what do you want me to do with this? Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that information. And they didn't like that when we asked them, well, what does that mean? They were like, well, just change it. I'm like, change what? So it was very weird and difficult. They also weren't very organized. They didn't plan ahead, and they also didn't ask questions or ask for help when they should have asked. So there were times where things would come up and you knew that they didn't know how to do things. That's when they should be saying, hey, help me on this. I'm not sure how to do that because this is your process. So, okay, but if they won't ask, how are we supposed to know they don't know? And so we think they know it and they don't ask, so we didn't even know that they didn't know. The other thing that they also did was they would delay payment and then they would take forever to pay. And then they would say to us, well, how come you haven't given us our product yet? Or how come you haven't delivered on this deliverable that you said you were going to deliver? How come you haven't done this? And I'm like, well, part of our agreement says we're going to do it when we pay. When the payment's received, we deliver. Why have you not paid is really what I wanted to ask, right? So that whole conversation was a very weird conversation that should have never happened. So delaying payment was also one of those. Also fits with what we talked about last time, which is, they paid on time and they pay. That's when you like them, right? So again, that's why it was my last item that I wrote down, because that's not the most critical piece. Because I can put up with delayed payment if everything else goes really well. All right, I'll take your time. We'll get it taken care of. I worked with a client not too long ago. We were at that last payment point, and she says to me, I can't make this payment. Can I make it in two payments? And I said, that's okay. Let's talk next week and we can do that. And she emailed me, I don't know, early the next week and said, actually, we're all set. Let's run the card. And okay, so off we went. But it was just one of those, I don't mind delaying when they're good people.
Yeah,
it's when they're not good people, that's when you have a problem, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't really consider that you get a lot further with honey than you do salt or vinegar or whatever.
That is so true. That is so true. I'm going to stop this conversation right now. If you're finding value in any one of our episodes, we want you to share it with somebody else. Just tell somebody, hey, go listen to these guys. This has been good. Second, give us a review. Tell us what you think. And the third thing, hit that subscribe button so that you always get updated every time we release an episode.
We'd really appreciate it. Now back to the show.
What are some of those personalities that you don't like to work with, or attitudes that they have, or their communication style? are there any important things that you go, boy, I don't want this type of person or this communication style or this type of attitude?
I have a hard time, and I think this sounds similar to the gentleman you were just speaking of, or the person you're speaking of, that, you know, mm-hmm. that when someone comes to you asking for advice, here's my problem. How do I solve this? I don't know. All right. This is how you solve the problem. This is how we'll do it. And, you know, they came to you asking questions, but they don't trust the answer you're giving them.
Interesting.
Why are you wasting my time then?
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you even ask?
You know,
if you know better or you don't believe
me. My consulting rate is X. I'm going to just send you a bill, you know?
Yeah. Right. That's a good point. So some of the ones that I wrote down too was if they're critical, if they're critical of everything you do and point out problems and tell you they don't like this and they don't like that. And, you know, being critical is one thing when it's deserved, but it's different when it's not deserved. And when I think about this particular company, when we work with them, some of the critiques that we received were not valid. Like they were just in his own head. And, you know, while he had a big version of what he wanted out of it, that's not what he paid for and not what he asked for when we got started. And things changed and evolved over time. That you can't be, when we had that change happen, we addressed it, talked about what we needed to do to make that, to get to where he wanted to go. And then he was critical of that. And it's like, well, remember when we talked about this initial portion or this initial goal here, this is what you wanted. Now you're changing it to here. It's like, you can't move the goal line 30 more yards and say, well, we didn't hit it. Right. So that's very difficult. Being negative and very pushy type of people is difficult to deal with to me. Now that's me, maybe other people who don't mind pushiness, that's fine. But you need to figure out what it is for you, right? The other thing is they had I'm better than you kind of an attitude. They were a little bit arrogant. And it was like they talked down to you.
Yeah.
So again, they come across as, this is somebody that is not looking at you as a vendor. They're looking at you as a vendor. They're not looking at you as an advisor. And you really need to be an advisor. You need to be somebody that they trust. And they also communicated really high level, no details. And then they were like, well, what about this? What about that? And you're like, okay, I didn't know that was in your head. So if some detail would have been nice to know that there's a step along the way that you wanted to see or know about, even though it was done, if I would have known you wanted to know that ahead of time. There's a whole bunch of things that can go into that. But when you're only giving high level direction, that's one thing. It's another when there's no details and then you're critical about it later, right? If you must pull information from the client to get any decisions or answers, that's another one that's frustrating for me. And somebody that's very indecisive, I think you mentioned indecisive as well too. Those are the types of people that I don't like to work with, right? Or that's the type of company that is difficult to work with. Not that you can't, it's just difficult. All right, so now what do we do with all this information, Lane? What do you think? What do we do? I mean, how do you know that these people have these traits? How do you find that out?
Ask a lot of questions.
Yes, that's what I would do. I would ask a ton of questions. So give me some examples of some questions that you might ask to find out whether or not they have more of the, hey, I'm looking for somebody that can give me some honest feedback or that is clear in what their directions are or knows what they want.
I guess I tend to just, you know, ask some of those high level questions of, you know, what is it that you want? Ask what's the problem you're trying to solve?
All right. So you ask, what is it that you want or what is the problem you're trying to solve? And they go, well, I'm calling you because you're the expert in this type of work. I'm not sure how to get there. What do I need to do? What do you need from me? What do you do? How do we do that?
What issues are you facing that caused you to call me?
Okay. And then they start getting into some of those details. And you find out that some of the reasons that they wanted to call you was because they were having struggles with A, B, and C. It was costing them some money. You find all that information out. They then become, you start to learn that they're a little bit open about, and they're very clear on what the problem is what
right.
you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you know this is something I can solve.
Right. I know if I can solve it, and you know if they can at least articulate what their problems are, then I you know, that's half the battle.
Yeah. And so once they've gone through those steps and you've answered that question well, is it go or no go?
Well, all right, great. We know what the problem is, but you know, what are they hoping to accomplish? All right. Great. You have these problems, but what is your goal? What does success look like?
All right. And if you find out that we know what the success is, X, Y, and Z, that means that's a good measurement of success. Are they good to go?
We're in general, probably. There's always a little bit of gray area where you're like, I don't know, just something doesn't seem right. And it comes
I totally agree.
It comes out of intuition largely.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. There, so there is a point where you're going to have to make a decision, and that's going to be like, is this a go or no go? But what you want to do, I think your whole attitude in this whole process needs to come across as you're a no until you prove you're not a no. So your questions need to come across, or your questions have to come across as, you know, being inquisitive and learning and being curious and knowing what they're going after and what you're trying to do and all the stuff you're supposed to do for sales, right? And learning what their pains are and their problems are and how much it's costing them and going through all those steps. But along the way, you got to listen for signals that should say to you, ooh, no, that's not going to be a good deal. For example, I had a call the other day with somebody who said they wanted to do a project, and the way that they wanted to do it was in a very specific location. And that location was not going to lend itself well to do the work that we needed to do. And so I pushed a little bit on that and said, I don't think that's going to be a good location. And here's what I've experienced before. Have you seen the same thing? And she goes, yes, that's the same problem we have. Like, okay. It could be the location that's causing some of that. Hmm. Are you open to looking at other locations? No, we have to do this location. Okay, well. I said, I don't know that I'm going to be a good fit because I'm telling you this is not a good location. Like in my head, this is my conversation, right?
Right.
I'm telling you this is not a good conversation. And you're telling me I hear you, but I don't care. And that was one flag. And then there were several other flags, such as, well, can you prove to me that you can make this better? Can you show me this? And they were like very pushy in terms of like, I don't believe anything you're saying to me. And I had to call her out and say, listen, I know what I know we can do, but it sounds like you've been burned a few times. Is that true? And she's like, yeah. Okay. So if you've talked to some people and they've tried to tell you one thing and they can't do it, I get that. But I'm of the mindset, I'd rather tell you there's something that I can't do, and that location and that description of what we're trying to do, I can't do. I'm telling you that right now. I can't make it any better than what you got right now.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then it doesn't sound like we're a good fit. And she tried to fight me on that. And I said, I'm sorry, it's not going to work. Those are the kinds of questions. So you need to start to push back once you hear a red flag. And so I might ask another question, like, you know, when you work with other vendors that are kind of like us, like, I know there's nobody else quite like us, but when you work with somebody like us that does the work that we do, so pick a field that's complementary to what you do. How do you work with them? What's the process? And have them describe what it's like working with them to get to where you need to go. Right. Then I like to ask sometimes intersplice in there if it makes sense and I'm getting this weird vibe. I might ask the question, I'm just kind of curious, if we make a mistake along the process here and we get going, we work together for a little while and we make a mistake, what's going to happen? And it's a little interesting when you hear some of the answers that come back. Well, what do you mean you make a mistake? Well, I mean, everybody makes a mistake. And then they start really getting fidgety and they start getting uncomfortable. Like, I don't want a mistake. Well, neither do I, but let's say it happens. Now what, right? So let's talk about it. And then the other time I might ask something like, hey, let's say we do something. Well, let's say we go through this whole thing. We do it perfectly. What happens then? And that's a weird question, but if it made sense to ask that, I might find out that they're going to say, well, dude, I got a couple of other companies that I got to introduce you guys to, or I'll do a review, or I'll whatever that is, right? Or I'll,
yeah.
They may help you understand what they're willing to do. And that's not so much about getting that stuff as much as it is what their predisposition or their attitude is towards you. I might ask another question, like, how many people are going to have to be involved in making some of the decisions? Because after we get started, even because what it'll help me find out is how complicated this whole thing's going to get. And I might also ask something like, you know, what are you looking for in a vendor or a trusted advisor or somebody that you can work with? And what kind of some of the traits that you're looking for? And you have to think in terms of if they're looking for some very specific traits and it comes down to, I'm looking for somebody that can execute what I'm asking them to do. You need to dig into that. Because if you're not one of those that likes to be told, this is what you're going to be doing and you're going to have this for lunch today, then that's probably not a person that you want to talk to. But if they come back with saying, listen, you know, what we're looking for is somebody that can do this, can take care of this on their own. It doesn't need to be handheld. We just want you to be able to do the work that you're doing. And we know that you can do it because here's what we've seen. And they start telling you why you're good they're probably going to be a good fit for you, right? All these questions have to be set up so that you can know whether or not they have the right personality, their right attitude, their right approach, their whole process of doing things fits with what you want. And then I might also ask the other question of, why do you think we're going to work well together? I mean, is there any reason why you think we'd work well together at all? And sometimes it's a surprising answer that you get back too. I think the key to this whole conversation, Lane, is that we have to figure out whether or not we're a good fit or not good fit from the start of the conversation all the way through the end of the conversation, right? Because if we halfway through get this weird vibe,
it's time to bail.
Explore it.
Yeah.
Well, or explore it. Yeah. And if, so it becomes a bail or no bail at some point, right? But enough tick marks on the bail line, you're going to go, I don't think so. I don't want to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
So if they're combative, it's probably a no go for me, right? If they're going to be very combative up front, that's the way it's going to go from the rest of the time you guys are going to work together, right?
Well, and once you've signed that contract and there's actual money on the table, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how many times have you felt like this is going to be a weird relationship, whether it's a combative one or one that can't be clear, indecisive, all that stuff you've started with in the sales process, and then fast forward into the experience that you were working together, that it was exactly or worse.
Yeah.
Almost every time I've had that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. While salespeople out there have probably known this for a long time, if you're new in sales or you're a business owner, these are the real questions that you need to be asking or figuring out. Take the time and go through and figure out what are the traits, the things that you like and dislike about your best and worst clients. Write it all down. Make sure that you know what that is very clearly, and then literally put it out there that these are the types of clients you're looking for. I'm looking for a client that gives us the guidance and the guide rails to say, here's where we're going. They're looking for quality. They're looking for somebody that's going to have all the traits that they need to do the work. They're looking for somebody that it can do their part so that they can have that person do their part that they need to do. They're going to give feedback. All these things that you're looking for, and then they pay on time, right? Those are the ones that you're looking for. Put that out there. Like, these are the style of people that I'm looking for. In addition to, I want this type of business, or I want this type of leader, or this type of position, or, you know, whatever it is that you're looking for that way. I mean, I don't know. Does that help you, Lane, at all? Have you had anything come out of this as something that would be helpful?
Yeah, I think I like some of your more probing questions. So I'll have to incorporate some of those into my little bag of tricks.
Yeah. What it comes down to is just really being curious and knowing where you're trying to go when you have that curiosity. So I'm curious, are they going to be a negative, critical kind of a person? I need to figure out what question will get me the answer to figure out, are they critical and are they pushy or are they negative, that kind of person. And that's what I have to ask the question right and find the right way to ask that question at the right time. So I hope that helps everybody out there listening. Lane, I think it's time we wrap this up. What do you think?
I think we should.
All right, sounds good. Until next time, everybody, don't forget to slow down and close more.
Thank you for listening to The Slow Pitch. Do you have a question about sales? Call or text your question at 608-708-SLOW. That's 608-708-7569. Or you can email them to questions@theslowpitch.com. Slow down and close more.
Thanks as always for listening today. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review. We really appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at The Slow Pitch. We were mixed today, as always, by Johnny Palakis, and we were produced by High Gravity Studios. Music credits and other notes are in the show notes section on theslowpitch.com, and we'll be back with another episode soon.